Closer look at the issue of forgiveness in the place of prayer. If you follow us last transmission, we started with this forgiveness, understanding the shift. And interestingly, it has been generating back and forth questions on this. And some were thinking we're actually picky and say, why should we need to change the place, the phrase, the tenses? Does it really matter? Whichever way we will go about it. But today, I believe by the grace of God, we're able to shed some light on it and see the clarity and why it is very, very important. I believe we are going to go through some scriptures and go through some references, go through some instances of prayer and healing where Christ himself addresses. And so you'll be able to know and understand the shift, because actually we started with understanding the shift. And so it looks like some people are finding it difficult to grasp the understanding of the shift, especially when they were already used to a particular line, a way of praying, and some they even thought about the particular line makes them to be like more humble and it looks more in a more respectable way of addressing the issue of forgiveness. So today we will continue, we'll go further in this issue of forgiveness and using the credences of the scriptures, all the instances, and going through all episodes of where we have forgiveness and healing. And so we want you to continue as we to join us as we continue today.
Now today, I think if you've been joining us on this, our knockout series, and you've been on our page, you understand that specifically we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer and looking at this in the light of the new covenant. And let's say this, you need to understand as a Christian, there's a big difference between the things that are written in the scriptures for you and the things that are written in the scriptures to you. I'll say that slowly. You need to understand the big difference between things that are written for you, for you to learn from, and the things that were written to you. If you cannot make that distinction as a Christian, you might end up reading somebody else's mail. Now, because Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says to us as Christians, it says all scriptures were written for our learning. I emphasize the word for. There's a difference between for and to. Some things are written for you to learn from. It doesn't mean they are supposed to be things for you to actually practice by yourself. And I think the inability of Christians to make that distinction has caused so much confusion for so many Christians. Of course, every scripture is God-inspired. Every scripture is for your learning. But not every scripture is to you. It's not your mail. And you see, that's what the Bible says in the book of Timothy, that you as a child of God need to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:15, I suppose. It says, well, it talks about the fact that you as a believer, you must be what? A workman who needs not to be what? Ashamed. Correctly. And think about it. If you can rightly divide the word, it means it's possible to wrongly divide the word. So what we are doing on this knockout series, by the grace of God, is to rightly divide the word so that you can understand what are the things that are to you for you to walk by. And that's what we're trying to do on this knockout series.
I just hope now this episode will make some other people feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I remember the last transmission, people were not comfortable with the end of the tenses. And so we started off today with four and two again. Well, they're wondering, are you playing with grammar rules or something?
We're not playing with grammar rules. It's just like we said, that you got to understand the fact that when Jesus speaks in the scriptures, Jesus actually has different kind of audiences that he was speaking to. And it's very important to you to know what is he saying to you as a believer in a new covenant. For somebody under the grace of God, or what is Jesus saying to those people who are putting themselves under the law of Moses, who think by what they do they can justify themselves? And those people, Jesus has nothing for them, but he has commandments of the law. So you want to understand, when anytime Jesus speaks in the gospel, who is he talking to? Is he talking to somebody who believes that they can actualize God's favor by their own effort? Or is he referring to somebody who has received what? The grace of God. A lot of Christians, sadly to say, can't tell the difference anytime they read the very words of Jesus. And that's why they take unto themselves what doesn't belong to them. And, strangely enough, they drop what so they should have taken up that belongs to them. And that's the very thing we're trying to do on this series. That's how we title this series, Knockout Series. Because we're knocking out false ideologies that people have actually laid on the doorstep of Christ that is not something that was meant for them. And people have dropped some things they should have taken up that is meant for them. And that's why we are doing that on this knockout series. So if we say some things that might sound to be things that are not consistent with what you grew up with as a tradition, whether you grew up in a religious family, or maybe because you grew up in a country or a nation where it's a bit religious and people talk about lots of things about God, if we say some things that might sound so strange to you, please check out the scriptures. That's why we try to quote the verses, so that you can go back and check up on the things that we mentioned. Don't just take it because we said it. Take it because you've gone back to check what we said, and that those things were so at the Berean Christians in the epistles. So in that understanding, we're going to carry on with this particular notion that we are looking at. The last topic that we did was forgiveness, understanding the shift. Now today, we're going to look at a different dimension to forgiveness. You know one thing, the reason why a lot of Christians, or not just Christians, in general in life, the reason why our responses are different to different situations is because we understand things differently. For example, some things that some Mr. A might listen to and it begins to run around, Mr. B can listen to the same thing and do nothing about it. It doesn't mean that the situation was different. It doesn't mean that the circumstances was different. It's just that the way they both see it was different. And the way they reacted is bound to be different if they see it differently. Now, the reason why we need to look into this matter of forgiveness is because your reaction in life, not just to God, but to events and circumstances in life, and how you see life and how you react to life, could be tied down to how you understand God's forgiveness. And that's why we are busy looking at this today. Now, quickly, follow us quickly. As we go to Luke chapter 7, there is something I wanted to see there. In Luke chapter 7 from verse 36, Jesus presented forgiveness as something that's meant to evoke a kind of reaction from you if you understand what it means. Specifically, we're talking about God's forgiveness now. Very soon we'll come to man's forgiveness, but please, we're still on God's forgiveness. Read from verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. What does it say?
Be therefore merciful.
Okay, are you looking at Luke chapter 7, verse 36?
Oh.
Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to verse 50. That's what we're looking at straight away.
Okay.
Now look one at how Christ presented this. Go on.
And one of the Pharisees
okay.
desired him that he will eat with him.
Okay.
And he went into the Pharisee's house
okay.
and sat down to meat.
Mm.
And behold,
mm.
a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house.
Mark the word, a woman who was a sinner. Can you see that? Okay. Just take note of that word. Okay.
Brought an alabaster box of ointment
okay.
and stood at his feet,
mm.
behind him weeping,
mm.
and began to wash his feet with tears,
okay.
and did wipe them with the ears of her head,
mm.
and kissed his feet, mm. and anointed them with the ointment.
So, this was a woman that was reacting. you might want to say, for ease of statement, that this woman is actually reacting. There's a kind of reaction. There's something she's doing with Christ, isn't it? So it's like he's responding to something. You know why I said that? Because the Simon that Jesus went to meet wasn't doing the same thing to Jesus. And probably there were other people, who were sitting around where Jesus was at the table who were not doing exactly what this woman was doing to what? To Jesus. So you've got to figure out there was something this woman saw or there was something that she knew that was going around at that time that evoked this kind of reaction from this woman to Jesus. And it is safe to say others around Jesus were not seeing it, what she saw or what she has come to understand about Christ. Now go on, please.
Verse 39. And now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it.
See, they saw what she was doing. They didn't see why she was doing what she was doing. Okay, go on, please.
He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet,
okay.
would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for
spiritual,
he is a sinner.
Spiritual people. See, they've got their own barometer, their own meter for measuring who a sinner was. They were even saying Jesus was not that prophetic. They claimed that they were more prophetic than Jesus. And they said Jesus would have noticed he was a sinner. Now, go on, please.
Verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him,
okay.
Simon,
mm-hmm.
I have somewhat to say unto thee.
Okay, so I've got something to tell you, Simon. Go on, please.
And he said,
okay.
Master,
okay.
say on.
Teacher, say it. Mm.
There was a certain creditor,
okay.
which had two debtors.
Mark the word. There was a creditor who had two debtors. It means two people owe this man something. Now go on.
The one owed 500 pence,
okay.
and the other 50.
Mm.
And when they had nothing to pay,
okay.
he frankly forgave them both.
Now please, this is Jesus radically presenting forgiveness in connection with debt. Mark the word, he says, when they had nothing to pay, it means those people were bankrupt. Can you see that? Those people had nothing to pay and the man did what? Forgave. It means Now we are seeing forgiveness being used in connection with debt. It means forgiveness is not just the fact that somebody says, I forgive you. In the terms, in the vocabulary of God, anytime you say, I forgive, it has to be connected to the fact that somebody owes a what? A debt that they cannot what? Pay. Because if they can pay the debt, why forgive when they can come up with the means to satisfy the debt? But the reason why it's forgiven, or the person is forgiven, is because you owe something. So we don't talk about forgiveness unless there's a debt to pay. Now, you see, does that not tell you that as we go back to Galatians 1:14 and Ephesians 1:7, where it says that what? In him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. You don't talk about forgiveness unless there's something, there's a debt to pay. Somebody owes something. And unless you have the payment to sort out the payment, you don't talk about the fact that you want to forgive them. So here, Jesus is saying that when you say somebody is forgiven, the question should be, what do they owe? I mean, is there a debt on ground? So now go on, please. So if forgive them both, go on.
Tell me, therefore, I'm reading verse 42.
Verse 42.
Which of them will love him most?
Okay.
Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most.
Okay.
And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged.
Now, our intention is not to go fully into this woman, as it were, the other things. There might be a better time to do that later on. So what have we raised then? The point we have raised now is to tell you that anytime you want to talk about God's forgiveness, you've got to understand first that you were bankrupt. You had a debt to pay. And that debt you couldn't even afford to pay. Now, people who think that they have a debt and they could afford to pay that debt, they don't need the forgiveness. They don't need it. They don't need it. So, if you want to talk about forgiveness, there's a debt that you owe. There's a debt that you cannot come up with a means of what? Of payment. And that is the way all of humanity were before God. And that's one thing you need to understand today. And for example, if you break somebody's, by mistake, if you broke somebody's, maybe something that belongs to somebody, or somebody's car, and somebody mistakenly broke their windscreen. Now, even if you say to the person that broke the windscreen, if you actually request that the owner of the car whose windscreen was broken to forgive. Now, to forgive the person who actually broke the windscreen, now, it would mean that even if you say the person is forgiven, don't forget the fact that that forgiveness does not automatically mend the windscreen.
Yeah.
There is a debt. There is a debt to pay. Mm-hmm. So every time the owner of the car says, I forgive the person that broke my windscreen, you'll start thinking in your mind, is he going to what? Go to the shop and buy a new screen to put on the car. Somebody has to pay. Forgiveness cannot be forgiveness unless there's a debt that has to be paid. Now, that's what we know. And that's the reason why every time in the New Covenant of the Epistles, every time the Bible says about forgiveness in the New Covenant, it always tells you the debt that was paid or what was used to pay the debt. It would say in whom we have redemption. Through his blood. Every time he mentions the blood before talking about forgiveness, he's trying to tell humanity that was the price that was used to pay for the debt that humanity owed God that humanity could never pay on no account. This is where we see the connection. Where are we going to today? It's very important. You see, unless you understand how much debt that was paid, you will never appreciate the forgiveness that came in line. That's why Jesus asked Simon. He said, Simon, Simon, who we love what? The master more. Simon said, the one that he forgave what?
More.
Why? Because the one he forgave more knew he had more what? Debt that he could not pay. The reason why so many Christians cannot appreciate the depth of God's forgiveness is that most of us don't appreciate how much debt that we owe that we could not pay. So to the degree you understand the debt, to the degree you will receive and appreciate forgiveness. People who don't have much debt don't appreciate forgiveness. That's why he said, the one that he forgave less debt would what? Love him less. The one that knew there was more debt would love him more. That's why a true presentation of the gospel will make people understand how much debt that they owe. Unless you appreciate how much debt, you can't appreciate how much forgiveness that God gave you in Christ Jesus. And that's why we are not in a way minimizing or in a way making the God's forgiveness of less effect. In fact, we exhort God's forgiveness by our transmission. We are simply saying there's too much debt that we owe that we cannot afford to pay. And then if you're wondering what how much debt is that, now going straight to the gospel, I mean, we've done this before on our Put Together Father series. I'm going to encourage you, please look for that series. In the Put Together Father series, we do understand that what? That humanity, there's a level of selfishness. We are selfish. We've broken the laws of God, broken God's commandments. The Bible says all of we have gone what? As sheep. We've gone astray. Each one of us, not some percentage, each one of us have gone astray. Anytime that you sin, your sinning is not just against yourself, against your body, against your mind. You are sinning against God as well. That's what the scripture tells us. And that's the thing about humanity. We've sinned. And this debt is so much that we cannot even pay. And that's why we need God's forgiveness. And this is the Bible tells us that God settled this forgiveness on his own terms. What did he do? Bible says what? In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. He paid for it. He paid and sorted out the debt. And that's what we're saying last transmission, that your confession, whatever you do, how sorry you feel you are, does not make God to forgive you. Because the Bible says the debt is too much that you can't even pay. Now, it means you're being pious, can't even pay it. I like this song that says that even if my tears forever what?
Flow.
You know that hymn? He said all for sin could not what?
Atone.
I mean, some people think there are some things they can do to atone. You know why they think so? They don't know how much debt they hold. I mean, if somebody holds so much and they know that it's too much that they cannot what? Pay, they have to throw themselves on God's mercy. That's why that song says, no, don't know how much tears you can come up with. It still cannot atone for sin. He said, thou must save and thou alone. It means, please, God paid for a debt you can't pay. And the Bible says that the blood that was shed, the life of Jesus that was given, was the payment that God made for sin. And to the degree I understand how much debt I owe, to the degree I appreciate how much what payment was given, to that degree can I appreciate the forgiveness that God gave me. And before we continue, I want to make reference to a particular minister of the gospel in England. I mean, his name is called Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest expositors that England ever knew in the 1960s and 1970s. You know, he gave an illustration, and I think I want to understand this. He said something. He said, if I go on a journey and I come back home, and then a bill came through the door. What you call a bill means, you know, a form of payment for a particular service that was rendered to him. He said if a bill came to the bill before he was charged to court, he said if he comes back on the journey and his friend then tells him, Martin, I paid for your bill before you came, he said, I would not be sure of how to respond to what he did. I want to know how much was what? The bill that was paid. He said, because I'm not sure whether to shake his hands and thank him or whether to go on the floor and appreciate what he's done. I want to know how much was the bill. He said, that's the first reaction. How much was it? If he told me it's just £50 or $50, I'll say, thank you for paying the bill. But if he told me the bill was $2 million, I would go straight on the floor and appreciate. He said, I need to know how much debt was paid before I know how to respond to what he did for my absence. He said, this is how mankind must understand God's forgiveness. A lot of people who are thinking that, well, I don't need much of this, or I can come up with things myself, is because they don't understand how much debt humanity sank into. All of us have gone, like what, astray. As a sheep, we've gone astray. We've all missed the way. We are all down under the power of sin. The Bible says God has concluded all under sin. To the degree you understand the depravity that we were in, to that degree, can you understand God's forgiveness? And that's what we see there.
I think now all humanity needs to have this true estimation of what God's...
Unless you understand the depth, you can't even talk about forgiveness at all. And that's what this Jesus in Luke chapter 7 was trying to tell Simon. He said, Simon, I know the reason why you are not washing my feet. You see, Simon, I know the reason why you're not going around like this woman was going around. Simon, I know the reason why you sat down there feeling cool, feeling like you are a nice person, is because you don't know how much debt has been paid. See this woman, the reason why she loves more, because she understands. It doesn't mean that Jesus was saying that this woman had more sins forgiven than Simon, because we know that when Jesus shed his blood, Bible says he shed the blood for what? All of humanity. Like he quoted last time, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world." Jesus did not just take away the sins of this woman and let Simon's sins not be taken away. No, that was not the difference between Simon and this woman in this Luke 7. The difference between the two of them was how they understood how much debt was paid. Can you see that? That's what makes the difference between Simon and this woman. And that's what we see. So you as a Christian, you as a believer, your response to God, your response to life will be connected to the degree in which you understand how much debt was paid. When I see the way you respond, when I see the way you react to life, I can tell how much you understand the debt that was paid. And that's what we see.
Yes, I would like to say that this is the antidote, the perfect antidote for those who are belittling the grace of God, you know.
Mm.
They belittle the grace message, and it's just because they've not have a true estimation of the debt, of their debt.
The bill is too much.
So they will not be able to appreciate the grace and feel like, oh, people are talking too much about grace and people are getting crazy about grace. It's just because it's the debt of the debt.
Too much.
They have to pay. And something that is very interesting is that about the scenarios. Like I like how the reality intersperses with the lesson, with the parable. Because here we see this, we saw the setting. So it came to a Pharisee's house, so you know we know what they stood for. It's a class of a religious class, and it's a class of humanity. And they came and they illustrated, showing another class, so that the two different classes might be able to get an understanding and feel about it. And it's so funny. I know we are not talking about this. We are not doing exposition on this parable, but we cannot but talk about
it. It's good.
Because we find out that in the story, we knew that he was telling us the thought of the heart of the Pharisee that invited him. Mm. That religious man that is thinking that if Jesus had known, if he had been a true prophet, he would have known what this.
That this human is a sinner.
This was somebody that is thinking within himself.
Mm.
And because Jesus knew what he was thinking, because he knew what was in the heart of all man, the scripture said he doesn't need anyone to tell him what is in the heart of the man. He already knew what he was talking. So we were able to feel and get a feel of what is in the heart of the man, though he never said it.
Mm.
So you can see the gaps of religiosity in which some people can really be thinking aloud like that in a way and looking calm and cool, collected, so they can have this barrage of thought. And then they can just really hold it up in a nice and religious way.
Well,
so for their position, so it doesn't look and they don't look disturbed and they look calm and calculated on that. And funny enough, and we now see what was strange was Jesus was not even responding to his thought. Jesus raised Simon. Peter, do you want to think about the significance of that? This was somebody thinking, you were giving us the thought of this Pharisee man, this religious man. Who chose to run wild with the thought, but not showing it and not even talking about it. He had the time to even to for clarification and this. Maybe he just wants to maintain the form. He doesn't want to disturb. And he wants to give a political, non-offensive response to it. So maybe he does not want to offend that sinner, that woman, the supposedly sinner, and he doesn't want to stay calm with the thought. But Christ did not even address his thoughts, which he knew. He said, and he turned to Simon. And to illustrate that, it's really. Do you want to talk about that before I go further?
Thank you for that. Now you see, there's one thing that you've been talking about, and I think, again, it means the reason why some people can end up being religious, or end up being people who look down on other people and say, well, this person, they don't think such a person merits or qualifies to have Christ Jesus in their life, because of the fact that such a person has not cleaned up their act. Can you see? The reason why
you're not look presentable,
that you're not presentable, or they think somebody does not deserve the goodness of God, and you ask them, why do you think that person doesn't deserve God's goodness? They'll say, well, look at him. Is that person not a sinner, or is that person not somebody who has not been living and paying the dues that we have paid as what religious people? Now we know the reason why people have such thoughts in their mind is because they still don't understand the whole point of what forgiveness. It means this understanding of forgiveness is what makes a divide between those who are living by the grace of God and those who are living under legalism and being bound up by trying to what? Think that they can actually satisfy, or they think they can actually come up with something that will make God bless them. Can you see? It's because people cannot make that distinction. See, Jesus, by this particular situation, painted a picture to humanity, and he's telling you and I one thing. You have a debt you cannot pay back. You see, people like Simon thought, they have something they can. That's why he sat down there feeling as if it was what? They think, I'm not like a sinner like this woman. So why would I have any need to begin to move around, jump around Jesus like this woman was doing? It's because unknown to Simon, his debt was equally as worse as this woman. In fact, the debt he had to pay was equally as large and unpayable as this woman. But the difference between him and this woman was, this woman was seeing the debt and Simon was not what? Seeing that debt. And that's why Jesus gave him the parable of the fact that who will love the master more? The person that was, whose debt was paid what? More. So here we see the lack of the revelation of God's forgiveness is the reason why we have two types or two forms of Christians. In fact, we have done our expose on Prodigal Father. The reason why you can then say there was the elder son and the younger son could simply be that what? They understood the father's forgiveness in a different light.
I can still not let go of this parable because the super moment for me is about Jesus addressing Simon Peter. Well, I wouldn't have known that Simon Peter was there because he actually went to the Pharisee's house and we saw the woman there in the story. He gave the story of the woman. They were taught. This was one of the gracious moments for Peter. You know, Peter had been enjoying this kind of gracious moment. You see Jesus praying for him. Like more than any of the disciples having private personal prayer for him. Say, when Satan desired this and this, some trying affirming him. Sometimes he has to affirm him that, okay, this is not the flesh that I revealed this to you. We see this one. It was not the question of Peter. We did not know that maybe Peter had this, Simon Peter never had this thought in him. It was the Pharisee. But Jesus uses it as a teachable moment for Simon Peter. And the sober thought for me is like it's what everybody should pay attention to. So actually, it should have been a teachable moment for the Pharisee. But it made it like, oh, Simon, come closer and listen and learn something. And that is what is talking to us today with this story, that we all need to learn something. If you are the Pharisee, or if you are the Simon Peter, that you might address yourself as the disciples you follow. This is a sober moment for us to learn. This is for us to even listen to us that are expressing the thoughts, the one that is thinking about it, or the one that have never come to think about things like that. We have to pay attention. He turned to Simon and said, Simon, this is your lesson for you. And that is the lesson for us today, to even to understand the depth of forgiveness and make Simon to even come up with it. So it's just not like, okay, I'm going to tell you, and because some people are just giving it offhand. It's like, I want you to work out the solution yourself to appreciate it. So you have to, what do you think?
To understand why this woman is doing what she's doing, because she understands how much debt that she holds.
Because some people have crammed it, just like they have crammed this, the response. They have the response of how they react to God. You know, everything is about response and the reaction. So it comes out of crammed knowledge of it. Okay, so, but he really wanted Simon Peter to know this, come up with this estimation. What do you think about this? So that the lesson can be part of it. And that is what we should pay attention to. So for us to consider, so we are in each of the place, whether we are the Pharisee or the woman or the or Simon Peter, we really need to think about this and say, what, and sit down and see, ritually, what is the depth of this, our depth, and what is the depth of the forgiveness, the grace of God?
Thank you for that. Now, if you look at this, can you read from verse 43 to verse 47 quickly, please?
Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, and he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I enter into their house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, as sins, which are many, are forgiven.
Too much that she can't pay.
For she loved much.
Okay.
But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
Okay, now, here we come to what we're talking about. Now, there are some things I wanted to point out quickly. It sounds to me that from this scripture, it means the Simon that Christ was talking to is that Pharisee. If you notice that he said to him, look at verse 43, or if you look at verse 44, 45, it says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house.
Okay, into their house. Oh, yeah. Thanks for that.
It sounds like Simon's house, which would happen to be the same Pharisee. But anyway, what we're trying to focus on today is this. If you notice, it says, him to whom many sins are forgiven, the same loves much. But to whom, whose few sins, if you want to put that word in quote, are forgiven, that one loves what?
Little.
Again, here we come to the big problem. It would mean that the reason why this Simon then sat down there thinking is not equally as a terrible sinner. I don't think Simon believes he's not a sinner at all. I just think Simon believes that he's not as bad as that woman. Simon believes that, well, I'm not that really bad. I've got a few sins. I mean, I try to keep the law because the Bible says Simon was a Pharisee. And this is the reason why we come to a point where we have Christians who believe the fact that even though they need the grace of God in their lives, but they tend to believe that, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not that terrible. I'm not that godless as other people. And I think I need the grace of God, but I think I can come up with some things in my life. Nobody says that in words, but you see, action speaks louder than voice. That's why the reason why we said on the last transmission, we simply said there's nothing you can do, there's nothing that you can come up with, that God's forgiveness was only offered on God's terms. When we said that, some people might think, are we then trying to cheapen God's grace? We're not. What we're actually trying to do inadvertently is to exalt the grace of God and to simply tell you and I, sorry, it is God's demands are too high that there is nothing that anybody can come up with. If you think there's something you can come up with in your life to meet that demand, to qualify you for God's favor, it means that you're not appreciating how big the debt is. The debt is too big. Nobody can come up with anything. That's the reason why anytime you go to the place of prayer, if you're going for vigils or maybe night vigil or day vigil, whatever kind of prayer you're engaging, and you are telling God and simply saying, Father, look at what I've been doing for you all these years. I belong to that department in my church or place of worship. Or look at me, I've tried to make sure I live a life that is what? Pleasing unto you. And you come up with all these things that you believe is the reason why God should answer your prayer. When you pray like that, it means you don't have the revelation of God's forgiveness. All those things you have done, in reality, they can do nothing to atone for the debt that you are in. All those things you are counting that you think are great points for you. I don't care if you were born in church. I don't care whether you are the head of the ministry, whether you are the pastor. It doesn't matter how much sacrifice that you think you have made for the gospel. It doesn't matter how much things you think you have done that you can count on. If you think those things are the reason why you have the right to lay claim on answers to your prayer, it means you don't still understand how much debt you are in. You are in so much debt that all of those things that you count as gain, they are not enough to pay for that debt. And every time you don't understand that, that's where you come with that form of self-righteousness, thinking that God holds you. God doesn't hold you. You are the one that owes God. You have too much debt to pay, and there is nothing you can come up with to pay for that. How did I know that? In this particular parable of Jesus, Jesus said about those two people, he said they could not what? Pay. Something they can pay. Something, yes, I mean, at least I can pay up to some extent. You cannot. And if you understand that, you can then simply say to God, I believe that forgiveness can only come only, I use the word only, on the premise of the shed blood of Jesus. And that's what we see there.
Yes, thanks for pointing out to me that Simon was a Pharisee. I was actually thinking Simon Peter was there. So I take back the observation thinking Simon Peter was there. Right. But nevertheless, the message was true.
Yeah, we
need to really consider and understand the estimation ourselves, whether the Simon Peter the Pharisee, even if Simon Peter was there, everybody should be able to understand the true estimation of what Christ's forgiveness is and how to see our depravity. If we see the depth of our depravity, we'll be able to appreciate and open ourselves to the forgiveness and be able to appreciate and show the level of our appreciation for this grace of God. So you see some people, you feel like they are going crazy with the grace. It's just because of the estimation, how they see the grace of God, how they see their depravity, and how they see the rich mercy of His grace.
Thank you for that insight. Now, so we've laid the foundation before we go to the next few verses now. And the foundation is the way you live your life, the way you pray. You know, that's why if you're wondering why we're talking about forgiveness, the way you pray, how you pray, whether you be frustrated in prayer or you be joyous in the place of prayer, all this hangs on what do you understand about the degree of debt that you owe that you cannot pay, that only God can pay God. Only God can pay His own debt. And that's what happened at Calvary. And that's why we insist on what we said in the last transmission, that nothing you do can guarantee God's forgiveness. You cannot pay this debt. God must have done something about His own debt that we owe Him. And that's the reason why if you offend somebody or you damage somebody's properties and something you do to that person and the price is too high for you to what? To pay. Your only option is to ask for forgiveness, believing that the person whose property you damage will fix it because he has the money to what? To fix it. That is the picture of what happened to us at Calvary. Too much that we can't pay. So God fixed the debt that we owed Him by shedding the blood of His Son. So the Bible simply says, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So God had to pay it on His own terms. So that's why we say, simply put, forgiveness has been offered by God on the cross. Not because of what you do or how you respond. No, that doesn't actually make God give His forgiveness. That only affects how you receive the forgiveness. So let's go quickly. You want to say one or two?
If you remember very well, we came from Matthew chapter 6, the forgiveness that in the place of prayer. Mm. So we cannot really show this aside.
Yeah.
Because we know, we say Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, we say, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debts.
So that word, the debt, again, here comes debt. Can you see that?
So we need that understanding in the place of
there's
prayer.
A debt.
We need to understand our forgiveness, on what premise is it, the depth of it, and why we needed it. For us to be able to, we must establish that in place of prayer.
Now, thank you for that. Now, you see, there's something. Can you, see, there's something we need to read from this Matthew, this the last one I've just read, the Luke, sorry, Luke chapter 7.
Okay.
If you look at the last verse in, on this, Luke 7, 36 to 50. What's the verse 50? What does it say there?
And he said to the woman,
yeah,
thy faith has saved thee.
From
go
verse,
in peace.
Oh, sorry, verse 48, please.
And he said unto her,
okay,
thy sins are forgiven.
Your sins are forgiven. Okay, you see? Now, the question you want to ask, which is the very same question that somebody was asking on our pages, when were our sins forgiven? Was it because of the fact that she was wiping the feet of Jesus? Or she was wiping the feet of Jesus because our sins were forgiven? Now, the order is critical for you and I. You see, we mentioned something in our last expose, that the major confusion that we do have with the new covenant, in understanding the new covenant, is the confusion of order. I mean, you see, that we said the difference between old and the new is how things are placed. It's important to establish the order in this parable. Now the question is, when was this woman's sins? Was it because she shed her tears? You know, people believe that, come on, if I want God to forgive me, then it means if I do something wrong now, as a Christian, and I want God to forgive me, it means I need to make sure that I cry.
I know what to do afterwards.
I know what to do. I will cry. I will shed my tears. I will make God to see that I'm really sorry. I will do all these things. Some people say I will even go on fasting so God can know I'm really what? Sorry. And then people have precedence for that.
Yeah,
because
so
David,
don't really blame them.
You know, David, when he actually Bathsheba, David did go fasting, say, when I do all these things, then definitely God will forgive me. And then that's what people think. Well, if you think that, it means you don't understand how much debt you owe.
I feel that could cover it.
You don't really value the debt. That's what Jesus said. The problem with people understanding forgiveness is because they don't understand the debt you're talking about here. You think the debt is that small that you will use all your crying and tears and fasting and to do it. No, it's more than that. And what we're trying to make you today appreciate that this is debt. The Bible says you can't even pay. Now, when did this woman have her sins forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to what Jesus said to Simon. Jesus said, who will love the master more? Is it the one who was forgiven more or the one who was forgiven less? It means the loving was supposed to come from understanding how much forgiveness was received. See, it is not I will love the master so much more so that he can what? Forgive. Mm-hmm. No. He said, Jesus said, I repeat that. Look at this parable. This was a parable that pointed to the reality of what will happen in the covenant. He said that to him that was forgiven more, he would love what? More. So the forgiveness first from the master, then the loving goes after. The loving is the response. Again, so he then tells us in this case that, and this, and how did Jesus make reference to this? Because this woman was loving on Jesus. Can you see? She was wiping the feet of Jesus, anointing Jesus, showing her love for Jesus. So then we can simply say the reason why she was doing that is because she understood how much she was what? Forgiving. Now, it's important to establish this. So what she did was not to get what? Forgiveness. What she did was loving on Jesus because she what? Received the forgiveness. This order is so important. So when Christ said in verse 48 to verse 50 and said to her, your sins are what? Forgiven. Jesus was already announcing to the woman the obvious. That woman understand that the reason why you're doing what you're doing is because you are loving on me because you need your forgiving what? Much. That's what we see there. So the reason why you go to God in prayer today in the new covenant, the reason why I say, oh Father, what I did yesterday was not right. You're not saying that because you want to make God forgive you. That's a wrong thing to do. You are saying that because you understand that you were what? Forgiven. And if you were forgiven, you believe the way you acted yesterday wasn't right. You believe the way you did things today wasn't right. The way you spoke wasn't right. The way you took what didn't belong to you wasn't right. Your response is supposed to change because you knew you were what? Forgiven. Your response doesn't guarantee forgiveness. Forgiveness is meant to affect the way you love God and love people. This is critical. That's the reason why, as Christians, God is the one trying to evoke a response from you because of what God did. In the new covenant, God is the actor. You are not the actor in the new covenant. You are meant to be the responder. You are the reactor. So forgiveness of debt first, your loving second, not the other way around. So what we said today then is, Jesus said to this woman, your sins are forgiven. He only announced to this woman what was obvious. I can see the way you are loving me, woman, so I know that you understood that your sins were what? Forgiven. I can see Simon sitting upon his high horse doing nothing. Because Simon, he was forgiven little because he understood the fact that he thought less debt was what? Paid. So we then see that you cannot respond or react to God and to life beyond how much you understand what? Forgiveness. That's what we see.
Today, I believe we are fulfilling the apostolic mandate that was on Titus to set things in order, because this order, we need to really establish it, and we need to bring people to heed to what the order is, because some people will have thought, and some people are living their life in a way that they feel like they can provoke God's forgiveness. And so they said they're living the life, coming up with actions, coming with rules, coming with doctrines in which they feel like they can bribe God forgiveness into that. You cannot love him to forgiveness and say so that he will not know anything to do.
You cannot even pray him to forgiveness. You can't love God unto forgiveness. You can't say, well, I'll clean up my heart so that God can forgive. You cannot do anything
as much as those acts were good, praying, loving, all those things were good, but you cannot use it to bring out God's forgiveness.
No. Now, you see, let's say this. I've had people say this, and I think if you're looking at this today, you might have had that well before, or maybe you said it before yourself. Some people say, I will commit the sin and then ask God to forgive me. I'll tell you the problem with that statement. The problem with that statement is not because the person thinks, am I sure whether God will forgive me or not? The problem with that statement is because the person that made that statement does not understand God's forgiveness. Mm. Because if you were forgiven much, the Bible says you will love what? Much. It means God is saying, if you understood what forgiveness was in the first place, it would have affected the way you live your life.
Afterwards.
Can you see? Not that you... I mean, this is counterproductive. This is counterintuitive. How can you say, it means when people... That's why we said, when we started today,
that the lack of understanding of forgiveness.
People don't understand what forgiveness is. It is not you trying to evoke forgiveness from God. Of course, there's nothing you can say, well, if I sin, and some people then try to scare them and say, maybe God will not forgive if you commit sin. This is not our interest today. My concern today is to say, how come understanding forgiveness did not affect how much you love God? and how much you love God and hate sin. That's what. So your loving God and hating sin was meant to be a response to the fact that you were forgiven. Because he that what is forgiven much will love much. That is what we are talking about today, this transmission. Trying to bring you to the point that you understand how much debt was paid. Too much debt that you cannot pay. And if you understood that forgiveness, paid for the debt, it would affect your emotion. It should affect your reaction. It should affect how you look at God. Affect how you look at sin. Affect how you look at everything around your life. That's why we said it's a game changer. Having this understanding of the order of forgiveness.
Yes, for people who are always on panic and anxiety mode whenever they hear messages like this of forgiveness and the grace of God, and thinking, are we setting people up for a life of habitual sin and that kind of thing? It is not. Because if you listen to what we're hearing, we're saying it's the understanding. If you really, if the person understood what the love has been forgiven much,
it will affect
and provoke the response of
love. How you love the Lord.
So
you
will not afterwards. Every other actions will be reflected in the understanding of the forgiveness. So if nobody can act wrong when understanding rightly the forgiveness of the Lord.
So it means we need to now.
I think the solution is to ingrain into the people's understanding. Want to sit with their head the forgiveness. That is the thing. We must talk more on that.
That do you understand how much you were forgiven?
Forgiven. That's like how much the forgiveness.
Do you understand how much you were in a deep trouble? Too much that you cannot even pay. You couldn't even help yourself. And he just came and did it. Not on your terms. Not what you did. Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
So people should spread more the messages of the depth of God's forgiveness.
Done.
So that people to know the depth of God's forgiveness is going to undo every other afterwards action, the after event. People should not be bothered about the part B when they have not even bothered about the part A. We should talk more, we should do this one, and it will naturally take care of the afterwards effect, what people do with that understanding.
Thank you for that. Now, can you now see that what will make a big difference between the experience of two Christians will be this understanding of God's forgiveness? And the reason why we said that is because right in Luke chapter 7, from verse 36 to verse 50, here came two people who were listening to Jesus. Can you see Simon invited Jesus into his house? Yeah. That was really great, right? Somebody invited Jesus. He had a proximity to Jesus. He was literally right in the presence of Christ Jesus, probably touching Jesus, shaking hands with Jesus.
They sat to eat
at the table. I mean, for you as a Christian, you could literally be in the place of worship. You could be somebody talking about Jesus. You could be somebody always singing about Jesus. Somebody always attending meetings of Christ Jesus, reading the Bible. I mean, that's fine. This man invited Jesus into a point of close proximity. They were eating together. That was really great. But you know what? Jesus knew something was missing in the way this man was responding to him. Something was missing how Simon was responding to God. Can you see that? So something was missing in how he was relating with Christ. And the reason Jesus gave was simple. This man doesn't understand how much debt was paid on his behalf. Can you see? And you see, you might think if somebody doesn't understand how much debt was paid on their behalf, you should probably think, does it then mean that others are affected? It does. Because if you don't understand how much debt you owe, you would think that you can come up with things to pay up the debt. And that's why people get offended if you tell them that, see, there's nothing you can do for you to make God forgive you. And when you say that, somebody said, no, they get offended. They say, well, what do you mean? I thought that if I go to God and say, God, I'm sorry, or I didn't eat food, or I look so serious, God will forgive me. The reason why you think you can is because you don't know how much debt is that.
I think this is the
you don't know how much debt is there. That's why you're offended. Please don't be offended. When we tell you that nobody can, ensure that God can forgive them by what they do, we are saying that because we know the debt, that it was too much. You see, we are the one appreciating the debt. If you are offended by what we say in the last transmission, when we say forgiveness,
understanding the shift.
If you're offended because we said there's nothing you can do to gain God's forgiveness, because God gave it on his own terms. If you're offended because you think there are some things you can do to actually qualify for the forgiveness. And when you think that way, you don't know how much debt is on ground. And that's why this Simon sat down there, not responding to Christ, and a woman came in and she responded. So we appreciate the debt, and we said there's no way you and I can come up with anything. That's why we just have to put ourselves right at the mercy of God. Say, give me grace. I cannot come up with anything. It's because we value how deep the depth is.
Yes, this is a word of caution for anybody sitting like Simon, or the Pharisee mode, or any seat or office that is actually thinking of cautioning or feeling offended, or like you rightly said, about people throwing themselves in reckless abandon.
That law.
In understanding. It's a word of time to look into themselves, to their own understanding. So it's a message to them to check your
understanding. How would somebody say that?
So why you want to caution someone, you need to check your level of understanding of the depth of God's forgiveness. That is the way. So you should not be too quick to put in a word to caution. It's not too quick. Some people said, oh, we want to just bring the maturity, we want to bring the balance. That's why I think that was the thought in the Simon.
Yeah, so it was a problem.
Should be a balance. Yeah, this is what is happening. Things going out of hand. Why, Jesus? He should bring a balance. I expect him of somebody else. If he has prophetic gift, somebody should come. And so people are sitting in the position of balancing, and they feel they have the job of balancing. This you need to is a reflection on yourself, to look into yourself and see and check the gauge of your own understanding of God's forgiveness. That is the thing. Before you take out the law
against someone else,
yes, check your gauge of forgiveness, of God's forgiveness, understanding of it. Do you really understand? If you do, you will do the same. Because Jesus was actually expecting the same from him. And this was the man that sets food for him, that puts food on the table.
Yeah, because he was forgiven little. Because
the man did something, so it was not like he was callous and just like no friendly host. He set something on the table, and that should be commendable. He did something. But to tell you that it wasn't enough, because Jesus actually said, I was in your house, you never did this, you never did this, you never did this. So everybody feeling cool and calm and see that they offered something, they brought something to the table. Yeah. Like you're using the business, or what are you bringing to the table? And they said, they are like Simon, we have the meat. We have I've done well, I've invited Jesus, and we have set the table for that. You have not done enough. I did not say that. Jesus said to him, you have not done enough. So whatsoever we are doing and bringing onto the table as a meat, in our places of office or anything that we're doing, and we feel like we are doing something, is not enough. Like Jesus said to him, it's not enough. You need to do more, and you'll be able to do more based on the understanding of the depth of the forgiveness. So if you are going to bring a little, because you understood little, it does not change the forgiveness anyway. It's just about the understanding of the forgiveness.
You understand that it was little that was paid for. So you're expecting the way you respond.
So you are not literally forgiven, if there is a word like that. But just understanding, your understanding of the forgiveness is the one that is little.
How much depth you thought. It wasn't that serious anyway.
So the forgiveness has not changed the forgiveness, but your understanding of the forgiveness is what differs from person to person. And that's what the difference between the forgiveness is the same for all mankind. Even for people that sin differently, it's still the same. No matter how we judge the sin, that this one desire a higher ounce of forgiveness. I don't know the barometer people use, but the forgiveness is the same for all mankind, because all have been concluded in the same. But our reaction and understanding makes the difference.
Thank you for that contribution. Now, you see, it would mean that I think Simon, in this Luke 7:36-50, was a bit too late. In his judgment. Yeah, it was so late, because he was saying to the woman that he was saying to Jesus in his heart. He said, if Jesus was a prophet,
he would have known
that this woman was what? A sinner. Unknown to him, the woman already received what? Forgiveness
for the sin.
So she wasn't a sinner. Simon was too late in his estimation.
So people are getting wrong perception.
And the reason why we can be sure that the woman received forgiveness by the very words of Jesus, it says she loves what?
Much.
Because she was forgiven much. So by the very response of the woman, she already received forgiveness.
Even Jesus said it, affirmed it, said she had been forgiven much.
That's why she's loving much. And Simon was still talking about that this is a sinner. Simon was too late.
So today, does it not tell us that some people are still judging people who people have been forgiven? They're still calling them and judging them as sinners. People have been forgiven. That is the thing. So we really need to be careful about how we do, our perception. Are we seeing through God's eyes to see? Because the way we had looked through the eyes of Jesus, we would have seen this woman forgiven. But it was looking through whatsoever he has or he knows as a Pharisee. The woman is a sinner. But looking through the eyes of God and what Christ has done, we'll be able to change our perception and our judgment.
Thank you for that. Now, let us not be misunderstood about one thing that we said. There's one thing that you mentioned. I want to make that clear to our viewers. We are not saying every person on the planet has received God's forgiveness. We're not saying that. Obviously, not everyone is saved at the moment. Titus 2:11 tells us that the grace of God brings salvation.
Appeared to all men.
Has appeared to all men. I mean, it means it's available
to all men. All mankind.
The forgiveness of sins is available to all mankind, not just to Christians. And why we said that in our last episode, because the blood of Jesus was not shed for Christians.
For any race.
It was not shed for some race, not shed for good people. The blood of Jesus was shed for the old world, because in the scriptures it says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." The giving of Jesus was God paying for a debt that we cannot pay. So
Humanity. That's
forgiveness of sins offered to the old world. So potentially, the old world has been offered the forgiveness of sins, even though the old world has not received the forgiveness of sins. So here we saw a woman who received it. That's the point we're making. Because how did you know she received it? Because Jesus said our response in love was a guarantee that she knew
she was forgiven
that her
much.
Sins were forgiven. She was forgiven much. So it means it wasn't just that our sins were forgiven. This woman was accessing it. She was receiving it. But the fact that she came to receive it was not what made her to be forgiven. I mean, that's the point we're trying to make, that the forgiveness of sin was a debt she could not have paid anyway. So it's wrong for us to say that when she came, then that's why she was forgiven. She was forgiven. She only came to pick up our forgiveness. She only came to receive our forgiveness. So the old world today, for those who are not born again, for those who have not been delivered from the power of darkness, it's not because the payment for sin wasn't made on the cross. It's just because they have not come to receive. When you come to receive, that's what we call salvation. How did I know that? Look at verse 50. You can read that. What does it say in verse 50?
Luke 7:50.
See what it says.
And it said to the woman.
Then he said to the woman,
"Thy faith has saved thee."
It means now you're saved. Now you've received.
Go in peace.
See, now you have received. Can you see? Now you have received it. That's what he said to her. So that should affect the way you think today, if you're listening to this transmission. That any time you come to the Father's presence, any time you're praying, you can be thankful to God for one thing. That there's redemption in the blood of Jesus. The forgiveness of what? Sins. Before you ever came to pray. Before you ever came to say you want to repent. Before you ever came to say you want to be sorry. Before you ever came to say you want to feel pious or whatever. There's forgiveness of sins because God paid his own debt that you can't pay. What did we come to do in the place of prayer then? Pick it up. Receive it. Respond to it. That's what we've come to do. And that's what we see.
So for time, we will not be able to continue this conversation, but please join us on our Facebook page, on maybe the website, the YouTube, and so let's continue this conversation with the questions, comments, clarifications. We'll be happy as the Lord gives us the grace to respond appropriately and promptly. So to meet next time we are transmitting, I want you to know that we've just started forgiving today so much. I was actually thinking we are still going to some other instances on this forgiveness today. So for time we will not be able to do it today. So the next transmission we are still going further into this forgiveness because it's an order. We really need to understand it.
Yeah.
To reestablish ourselves.
You can't put the cap before the horse. You can't be in a new covenant.
We need to really understand the order, the framework, so you can really establish yourself. In the New Testament way of thinking, the New Testament way of life.
I know we're about to close, but can I just say one thing?
Yes, please.
This expose today, this knockout series today, should knock out the ideologies that some do have thinking, "I'm not even sure whether God has forgiven me for the sins I've committed." You can't say that anymore, because all you've come to do, anytime you come to the place of prayer in repentance, is to pick up that which has been what? Given. And which one is easier? To convince God to give something, or to come and pick something up.
That's available.
You cannot say, "Does it make any difference?" Now, please don't say that. Somebody say, "Well, does it matter?" It's just a play on semantics. This is not a play on semantics. It makes a big difference. That's the reason why many don't have faith in prayer. Can you see what Jesus said to that woman? He said, "Your faith." The reason why people struggle to have faith, that's the reason. Because you are thinking you are coming to do something or pray 3 days so that God can do something. That's why people struggle to have faith. You're not praying so that God can do something. God did something by the blood of Jesus. He offered forgiveness. What you do is you come and pick it up. That's what we call faith, picking up that which is available. And that makes a big difference. That's why faith comes naturally, if you have this kind of understanding of what we're talking about today.
Like you can see, there's still much to be said about this forgiveness and faith and how it is
linked. Faith comes naturally, if you understand this.
So I think you're going to take this observation to the next transmission and everything. I know you are still eating up and much to say. There's much to say about forgiveness, because there is, even the forgiveness is much.
We've not even come to forgiveness as it comes to what? Humans among ourselves. We're still talking about God's side.
God's side of forgiveness.
We've not, because we've got to start with the right order. That's it.
And I need to even remember people that we are talking about God's side of forgiveness, because some people even they messed it up.
You need to stick with us systematically as we go from, you know, episode to episode to get it.
Finally, we want to say, see us in next transmission as we continue on this series. We want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in it. God
bless you. Walk in the knowledge of that forgiveness that you've been forgiven much.